I began my week by asking everybody I ran into, what do you know about the story of the Good Samaritan? And it was so interesting. Lots of misunderstandings about that story. As many as the basic understandings. I guess the funniest answer I received was someone who said, oh yeah, those are the people that if you've got an RV, you get a discount if they have to help you. It took me a minute. I'm like, oh, that's right. There is an organization called, you know, the Good Sam or something. Yeah, that helps. That, yeah. And my older son said, well, isn't that the story where Jesus helps some guy out of a gutter? We love this story in our Christian tradition. It is one of the favorites. In our Western culture, it is also very much connected up with being a hero out of the blue. And, you know, we say someone was in trouble, but then all of a sudden there was a Good Samaritan that helped. Last winter during the snow emergency, I saw lots of people getting all kinds of heroic assistance. You know, that was some fairly colossal snow. The snowpocalypse, they called it, remember? Snowpocalypse. Our neighbors across the street from us, a woman who has adopted, first she had a foster child, just a baby, but she went ahead and adopted him, and he's about 2.5, 3 years old now. Various neighbors were very concerned about her during the snowpocalypse. We're from Ohio. The first thing we did when we saw that snow was start shoveling ourselves out. And so we had a perfectly pristine driveway during the snowpocalypse, which led to a street full of snow. It was completely worthless. Silly, really. And then it laid up my husband for 3 days afterwards, shoveling all that snow. But this lady across the street, well, me and all the neighborhood kids got out our snow shovels, and we worked and we worked and we worked on her driveway and could barely make a dent. And I was concerned about her. She was okay and everything, but it's just when there's a little person, you know, you want to make sure the ambulance can get to them if needed, you know, God forbid. But anyway, late one night, that first night of after the snow had fallen, I was reading out by our fireplace, which of course couldn't have a fire in it because the snow was all stacked up on top of the chimney. But I was reading out there, and it was about 10:30. I hear this unbelievable racket coming from our street. I mean, it was loud. Some machine was out there. And of course, I tried to see. I couldn't see. Threw on my coat and boots, went outside. There was one of these gigundo snow movers, like I guess they use for the highways. Boy, did it look out of place in our little residential street. It was loud, and it was working. And I want to tell you, it was working on Miss Laura's driveway. It had plowed out the whole street all the way up to her driveway and was doing the rest of the driveway. And I thought, what in the world? How come this one person gets this special treatment? That's fabulous. Took me a while to realize it's her boyfriend driving the thing. He'd managed to borrow it from an exhausted county worker. And he went running down okay, it was perfect. Right about then, my 5-year-old wakes up. It's late, right? He comes clomping out in the snow wearing his dad's boots and wrapped in his blanket, right? And he goes, what is that noise? You're down there standing at the end of our pristine driveway. And I say, why? It's Mr. Gary helping out Miss Laura. Isn't that wonderful? And he goes, well, it's about time. Where's he been? I was like, well, I think he was stuck. He couldn't get back because. Anyway, then, perfect timing. The little fella goes, dun 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 dun. This is the hero music from Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? This is Indiana Jones theme music. That little fella recognized a hero in action, saving a damsel in distress. Oh, that was a good Samaritan for you. My husband rides a train with a guy, another federal employee, and we don't ask what department he works for because, you know, then he might have to shoot us. But he told a story last week My husband was saying, yeah, my wife's working on this Good Samaritan sermon. And he tells a story. He lost his cell phone on the subway. And, you know, in this day and age, people use their cell phones for everything. I mean, they're your calendar, they're your life. But, you know, what's really weird is they're your pocket watch. Nobody wears watches anymore because there's your cell phones, a nice big clock on it, you know, and you keep it in your pocket. Anyway, so he didn't even know what time it was. And he jumped off the train without his cell phone, started calling his own cell phone, got on a pay phone, mind you, to call his cell phone, right? To find out if anybody would pick it up. Somebody does pick up. And he says, hello? Guy says, hello? He goes, oh, thank God you found my cell phone. Where are you? I'll come wherever you are to pick up my cell phone. Oh, thank you so much for picking up my cell phone. Thank you. Guy says, what's it worth to you? And the buddy of my husband says, $20. It's all the cash he had on him, right? Wanted to get that cell phone back fast. Guy says, fine. I'll meet you at 5 o'clock tonight in Union Station, right in front of Au Bon Pain. I'll be the guy waving the cell phone in the sky. You be the guy waving the $20. Click. Now, what kind of good Samaritan... Does that qualify as a good Samaritan? Could that even be a semi-good Samaritan? I don't even know if that qualifies. But he was so grateful to get his cell phone back. He was so happy to pay $20 for it. He felt like he got off easy. The guy could have said, I won't give it back to you unless you give me $100. He'd have paid, right? So he was grateful. He told that as a Good Samaritan story. It's a cold, cold world. If that's a Good Samaritan story. My car broke down on Wednesday. I pretty much spent that whole day of heat emergency from about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Bonnefont and New Hampshire. And it was incredible. Everybody in town stopped to help me. I had well-wishers like you wouldn't believe. I had people stopping to give me bottles of cold water. I had neighbors walking up to me saying, can I use their house? Would I like to wait in the air conditioning? I had people just walking by, you know, offering to call for me, help, whatever. I had help coming. It was okay. It was remarkable to me how many people stopped, how many sweet people. It bordered on annoying, really, because I was trying to read. And, you know, when you're hot, you get a little fussy. And, you know, I kept having to stop every 5 minutes to say, thank you, tow truck's coming, it's okay. The last lady that stopped, sweet as can be, calls out, can I get you anything? Are you okay? I say, yeah, fine, tow truck's coming. Thank you so much, but it's all good. I'm good? She says, I'll tell you what, when I get done running my errands, I ought to be back this way about half an hour. If you're still there, I'll stop and sit with you, okay? And I said, that'll be good. Okay. Stop and sit with me. That was my favorite offer. So that's what the Good Samaritan has come to mean in our culture. A chance to help. In the context of Luke's gospel, is this what Jesus is talking about? In a way, yes. The question posed to Jesus is, who is my neighbor? Who qualifies to receive my help? The person asking this question is a lawyer. Now, that's not even close to what we have as lawyers in our society and culture right now. This lawyer was an expert in scripture. He knew exactly the definition of neighbor according to the Hebrew scriptures. All right? And you probably do too. Those of you who've been around church long enough might have heard this sermon once before. Neighbor is your fellow Jew. See, the lawyer's trying to get Jesus to define who receives the good news. And Jesus isn't going to do it. He's not going to say, it's just for us who are Jews. But he tells a story about Jews. The man in the gutter has got to be a Jew. Going on this road from, what is it, from Jericho from Jerusalem to Jericho was only traveled by Jews at that time. So he had to have been a Jew. Why did the priest and the Levite pass him by? Traditionally, we've said because they were hard of heart. They did not wish to get their hands ritually unclean by helping this guy. That may well have been the case, but I'm not exactly sure that was Jesus' point. Who is the Samaritan? We define him as a foreigner, an outsider, a stranger, someone who had no particular religious connection to this guy in the gutter. But I think he did. Excuse me a minute. The Samaritans also believed that God was about love and that God called people, faithful people who believed, to be loving, to do the right thing, to love their neighbors. From the perspective of the priest and the Levite who passed them by, the guy was a goner and they had bigger fish to fry. To keep yourself ritually clean and not touch the dying guy in the gutter is to look out for the greater, bigger picture of all of the family, all of the people waiting in the synagogue, all of the Jews who require, because God says so, a particular level of cleanliness on the body and in the life as part of being worthy to celebrate God's power and love in the world. That's what they were on their way to doing, right? Their minds were connected up with something deeply spiritual that was calling them toward Jerusalem. And the distraction of this guy in the gutter was not going to stop them. They felt they had bigger, better fish to fry. The Samaritan did not have those fish to fry. The Samaritan saw the guy's physical wounds, his bodily nitty-gritty stuff that human beings need to have their wounds taken care of, to be fed, to be saved out of the gutter when you've been beaten up. And he took care of him. He did the right thing. Went beyond doing the right thing by setting him up in a hotel and making sure everything was paid for, and even left money to pay for further expenses. When Jesus finally asks the question, who was his neighbor? The person who showed mercy. The lawyer can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan, because the Samaritans were so despised by the good Jews. But he can say the person who showed him mercy. The person who showed him mercy. Jesus then replies, go and do likewise. You who are so involved in the maintaining of the law, in understanding the perfectly true and deepest possible meanings of the law, go and pay attention to the nitty-gritty of human beings and what they truly need. Brothers and sisters, look at chapter 10 in Luke. What has just happened? All of those disciples, all of the 70 have come back rejoicing. What is about to happen is a story of Mary and Martha, where Martha pays attention to the nitty-gritty, to the food, to the bodily needs of the people in her house. And she's mad at Mary for not doing so. Mary's paying attention to Jesus. And Jesus flips his message, it would seem, to say, ah, now Mary's paying attention to what is spiritual, and that is the better part. We have to be careful when we read this scripture. Are we talking about what is better, what is worse? What is spiritual? What is nitty-gritty human blood and guts stuff? It's a false dichotomy with Jesus. What's real is all of it together. What's important is to listen to him. I want to leave you with one thought. There is a pastor, an American pastor, actually, Reverend Powell, writes that while Americans and other Western Christians understand the story of the Good Samaritan to be about giving help to anyone who is in need, that isn't the case in all parts of the world. He writes, "When I lived in Tanzania, I found that very few people thought that this was the meaning of the story, that we should go out and do good deeds and help and save wherever we can, show mercy. Or at least they did not think that this was central to what the story taught us. The moral of the story, they told me, is that people who have been beaten, robbed, and left for dead cannot afford the luxury of prejudice. They will and should accept help from whoever offers it. Indeed, the main point of the story is that God helps us in unexpected and surprising ways. Therefore, when grain is brought to a famished village, parents of starving children should not care whether it is the Muslims or the Roman Catholics or the Jehovah's Witnesses who bring it. God can work through anyone, including those we might regard as heretics," which is how the Jews would have viewed the Samaritans. "To the extent that the story raises the question, who is my neighbor? The answer it provides for the people in Tanzania is not whoever needs my help, but whoever helps me. Whoever helps me is my neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love those who help you." Please pray with me. Wonderful God, in this story, there is so much to wrestle with. When we think we understand you, when we think we understand what we're supposed to do, things tilt or straighten up, and we see from a different perspective, a bigger picture. Lord, help us to love those who have helped us, who are helping us. Lord, help us to do whatever it takes to show mercy and kindness to those neighbors. In Christ I pray. Amen.